Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen, and it's a great privilege to be the host of this program, and we do thank you for inviting us into your homes tonight. We are broadcasting live from the TV20 studios in Salt Lake City, and tonight we are testing our capability to overcome several technical hurdles, which will put us put our show live on the internet in streaming video, and I'm told that there's a high possibility for success of this, and all of the tests have also have proven a success, but perhaps some of our viewers would help us in determining this by checking it out during the broadcast and give us feedback on how it looks. All you need to do is go to our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and you'll immediately see instructions on watching us in streaming video, and then just let us know how it looks. And if this is successful, of course, you can tell all of your friends and people that you know in faraway places that our show is now can be seen on the internet, and you can tell them they can start watching it there. All of our previous shows, of course, can be seen on streaming video on the website, whatloveisthis.tv. But I might want to mention right here that there's been a delay in uploading some of our most recent shows because our internet genius has had a serious family emergency. He's been called out of state and he's been gone for quite a while. And it's an ongoing emergency, so he's making arrangements to be able to upload it while he's away, but it still might take some time to get them all up there. So we just want to thank you for your patience and let you know that that's why we're a little late getting the shows up there. Now, this is a live telephone call-in program, and our telephone number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. If you would prefer to email us or your questions or your comments, you can do so at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. You can go to our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and find a lot of information, answers to our most asked questions, how to receive the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, or the Bible study book is Polygamy Biblical. If you have a LDS, whether it's polygamy or the mainline church or just any LDS background or know someone who does, you can tell them that they might enjoy the website, sacredgrovesonline.org, Sacred Groves Online. That's a very nice website as well. We do have a support group. It's called Life After Polygamy, and people whose lives have been touched by polygamy in any way are invited to come. We have some wonderful times, some good group sessions. It's therapeutic for many people, and if you want to come and just get hope or help, you're invited to come. We are meeting next. The next meeting is November 15th, and it will be at 6:30 p.m., and you can call us or email us for details. And if you want to find out more about us and how we help polygamists, or if you're in a polygamy group and you just want to know more about what we can do to help you, you can go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. And if you're in a polygamy group and you wish there was a way out, we can help you with that. Just give us a call. We have a toll-free number. It's a hotline number, especially for you. It's 877-425-9993. We can offer you hope, and we can offer you a support system. Our focus is biblical truths. We're not ashamed of that. We do offer you the biblical alternative to what they teach you in the polygamy group. You see, God has the final say about everything, and His first and His last word about marriage is monogamy. Now, in the year 2005, just 5 years ago, 20-year-old Keith Dotson Jr. married a 15-year-old bride in accordance with the FLDS priesthood directive at the YFZ Ranch in El Dorado, Texas. 2 days ago, after the jury had deliberated more than 5 hours and after 6 days of trial, Keith Dotson Jr. was found guilty of sexual assault of a child. This is a second degree felony, and it carries a penalty from 2 to 20 years in prison, as well as fines that could be up to as much as $10,000. The jury is now working on the penalty phase of the trial. After the jury had been deliberating for a few hours, they had a question they wanted to ask the court. And that question is, if ignorance of the law makes it excusable to break the law? Well, the court said no, ignorance is no excuse. Now, during the trial, the prosecution quoted from the FLDS scripture that says a woman can become the property of a man. The property of a man. That's way back in the Dark Ages, methinks. Now, it reminds me of Gordon B. Hinckley a few years ago when he told the men of the LDS Church that their most prized possession was their wife. The 15-year-old girl in this sexual assault was a victim, but she was sealing her salvation through this obedience to her parents and to the FLDS priesthood and to their authority and to their gospel. But we read in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, that it's a false gospel and therefore no gospel at all. And I'd like to quote those verses. Paul said, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." You know, that perversion was salvation by works. And a great deal of pain and consequence could be averted for many people, if they would only search out and study their Bibles to prove or disprove what they are being taught or what they have been taught, to find out if it's true or not. And oftentimes, it's not. Well, tonight we don't have a guest, but that gives us plenty of time to catch up. I like to do that once in a while so that we can catch up on things that are taking place and emails and things like that. So I'm going to start tonight with reading our first email. We received it just recently, and she said, "I really enjoy your show. My first reaction when I heard of it was, how can they do a weekly show just about polygamy? Now I see the subject is nearly inexhaustible. I have been going through the archives and enjoying all of the topics and guests. It seems that the LDS and fundamentalists throw around the term keys as if it were common sense, but it's a foreign word to me, even having been raised LDS. I look forward to hearing more on the topic of keys." So I thought we'd take the first few minutes tonight and talk about keys the way this culture teaches about it. But this certainly is not an exhaustive handling of the topic. The idea of keys is highly misunderstood and misapplied in this culture. In the Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, our very most favorite early Mormon prophetic voice, Orson Pratt, said that the sealing keys of power were given to Elijah, and only one man can hold the keys upon the earth at the same time. And these keys were supposedly passed on to Joseph Smith by Elijah, and only the head of the LDS Church has those keys upon the earth. John Taylor, Mormonism's third president, accused LDS Church members at the time who opposed polygamy as being apostates. He said, Where did this commandment come from in relation to polygamy? It came from God. And if they were not prepared to enter into it, the keys of the kingdom would be taken from them. Now, this is a condensed quote, but you can read his entire talk in Journal of Discourses, Volume 11. John Taylor said the keys would be removed from the Mormon church if they gave up polygamy. They gave up polygamy. So they forfeited the right to speak and to act for God upon this planet, which is what the keys symbolize. Well, after the manifesto, when polygamy was supposed to have become outlawed, some polygamists scrambled to obtain these alleged the forfeited keys. And they ended, what happened is that they ended up forming many different separate polygamy groups, each one claiming to be the only ones that had the keys, each one claiming to be the only true church, and each one claiming to be the only kingdom of God on the planet. And the LDS church, the mother church, continued to claim to hold the keys and to be the only true church on the planet, and they still claim that. Now, my question is, don't you think this is a little bit ludicrous? How can they all be the only true church? How can they all be right? And how do you know if you're in one of these groups? How do you know you're in the right group? They all claim to be right. How do you know? I know that many of you say, I have a testimony, but how do you know? I mean, if they all claim to be right, maybe you're not in the right one. How do you know? All these groups can't be right, but they can all be wrong. And God has given each person the responsibility to put every single one of their claims to a brutal and exhaustive biblical test. It's your salvation that's at risk, and you need to obey God and test every spirit and every doctrine. Well, let's look at the keys according to the Bible. Keys symbolize the power or authority to act in a certain capacity for God. Keys are used to lock something up or to unlock something. Now, Orson Pratt taught that Elijah had the keys and gave them to Joseph Smith. But the Bible never says that Elijah had the keys. And where the Bible is silent, a doctrine cannot be established. Power and authority are symbolized by keys. They are fulfilled in Jesus. They belong to no one else. The Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled only in Jesus Christ. We see this in Isaiah 22:22, Isaiah 9:6, and Revelation 3:7. Let's look at Isaiah 22:22, where we read about Eliakim. It says, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. And so we see that the key is placed upon his shoulder. It's a key that's used to open up or shut up, and it was placed upon his shoulder as a responsibility to be carried. Isaiah 9:6 has the same idea about the Messiah, because it says he will carry the government on his shoulders. And the government, of course, is the power, the authority, and the responsibility. Isaiah 9:6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. We see that Jesus is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That means that he's the eternal source of everything and the Prince of Peace. So notice that the government is on his shoulder, just like the key to the house of David. That's, David was the king, so he had that responsibility. Now notice the wording in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus said, these are the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. So obviously Jesus is telling us that he is the fulfillment of Isaiah 22:22. Keys are used to open up something or to lock up something. Jesus gave Peter and the disciples the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You read that in Matthew 16:19. But he did not give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It says of the kingdom, not to the kingdom. There's a big difference. Giving them the keys was simply giving them the knowledge, the authority, powered by the Holy Spirit to preach the saving gospel message of salvation by grace alone, purchased for us by Jesus Christ. Peter effectively used the keys that Jesus gave him when he preached the gospel in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 souls believed and were saved that day. Peter used the keys again in Acts chapter 10 when he brought the knowledge and opened up the knowledge of salvation by grace to the Gentiles. Using the keys are merely word pictures to better express opening and shutting, or binding and loosing. The gospel of how, the good news is what gospel means, of how we get into heaven is opened up every time a believer tells the story of salvation purchased for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. The shutting, the rejection, if the listener rejects, then heaven is shut. But when they hear the message, it's opened up them for them to enter. The gospel message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone has been unlocked and loosed upon the world. The keys of the kingdom of heaven belong to all believers and only to believers. And we are to use those keys by taking His true gospel message to the unbelieving world. Any other message, though it might be called gospel, is really no gospel at all, according to Galatians 1, 6, and 7. And finally, binding and loosing has absolutely nothing to do with celestial marriage and their sealings, nothing. The biblical context, when it talks about binding and loosing, is used either in the context of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, or it's used in dealing with church discipline, as you see in Matthew 18:18. But never is binding and loosing, nowhere in the Bible, anywhere does it in the context, or is it referring to eternal or celestial marriage. Okay, the media persuasion of sister wives continues to rumble through the television airwaves. Last week on the show, we critiqued the Sister Wives show and concluded that it really is not a reality show about real polygamy. Tonight, we have a YouTube video clip that we want to share with our viewers, and it includes someone else's opinion of Sister Wives and polygamy. So, grab your popcorn, pull up a chair, and watch the following clip about Sister Wives.
I'd like to say that the reality series Sister Wives is being put on by members of the same cult that I grew up in. The same cult. There are many, many different branches of FLDS polygamy, but they're all intertwined and they all believe the same quote, end quote, religion. Our faith was held together by fear, not faith. Why? Because all of those who claim to be FLDS polygamists by religion, all of them, believe in a blood covenant. A blood covenant. That means in our religion that if we turn away from the faith, we will suffer eternal damnation. And if polygamy has been revealed to us, because we grew up in it or because we heard about it and we turn our back on it, we will suffer eternal damnation. And the only way that we can be saved is to have our blood shed. Jesus Christ did not die for our sins. We will have to die for our own sins. The night before I got married as a child, I was reminded of these things, told that if I had a choice, and I did have a choice. Did I want to suffer the consequences of eternal damnation and blood atonement, or did I want to live polygamy? My choice, like holding a gun to my head and saying, do you choose to do as I say, or should I pull the trigger? Is that a choice? Choices by coercion are not a choice. I am fifth generation fundamentalist polygamist. In our religion, the men own the women and the children. If the women leave, they don't get their children. If the women leave, the husband has a right to decide whether or not to save their soul through blood atonement. We are the American Taliban. This is what you don't see. In the Journal of Discourses, a group of books that is held in every single home FLDS home. The blood covenants are there. Killing in the name of God is fine. Just don't get caught. In my lifetime, I have seen many people that have been involved in murders, and my own uncle was killed, and many of my friends were killed trying to get out of different FLDS cults or rival cults. Herval LeBaron was my brother-in-law's brother. He had over 30 people killed. And people say, oh, he's a single incident. He is not. He is not. In Salt Lake City, every decade, there was another religious killing in another name. The thing is that the bank accounts are held in a religious name that makes them sound like the different bank accounts from different compounds or different churches. They are not different. There are thousands of them from Canada to Mexico. We are America's Taliban. They believe that they can kill one another who see God differently, and it is holy and it is righteous and their right to do so. And they are presenting it to you, the naive public, as a quaint little religion and a religious choice. On Sister Wives, he says, oh, it's a choice, in the interview with Oprah, a lifestyle choice. The women openly admit that it is their faith. They grew up in polygamy. It is their faith. Faith is something you believe. A choice is not a choice when it's coercion. Why is it that he can tell his wife that it would be horrible and so against nature if she had another mate, but for him, that's the way it's supposed to be? If polygamist men understood nature, they would realize that having all the sex that you want doesn't make you a god. And of course, we were taught that they would become gods, that they would have enough wives to people a planet with their own seed. We knew nothing about interbreeding, nothing about the consequences. Why in the world would having all the sex a man wants and having all the wives he wants make him a god? When he says marriage isn't about sex, but polygamist marriage is about breeding. We were taught that a baby should be born every single year under the covenant of polygamy. Yet, the women, if they stray from the man, if they had another mate, their consequence is eternal damnation, or legally, according to the religion, death to save their soul, the man's choice. If men understood the power of sexuality, and maybe they do, maybe that's the problem. If these guys really understood it, they would be prostitutes, but they can't hold up to that job, so they corral and control and abuse the women. This is sick. This is sick. If these women were in captive and sold during their best sexual years when they were young in sexual slavery, this would be accepted as a crime. But in the name of religion, where they cannot support themselves or support their children or survive without each other, in the name of eternal damnation, in the name of never knowing anything better, this is covered in religion. I hope someday that the people, the populace, you, will be able to understand and recognize abuse, no matter what it is clothed in. It is not intelligent, kind, or saintly to ask any human being to tolerate a lifestyle that you yourself would never tolerate. These men are far from becoming gods. I will say this, all of the people that I was born and raised among are in bondage to their ignorance. Persecution, prosecution doesn't change ignorance. Education does. They need a lot of education, and they need to be responsible for their behavior. These men need to be responsible for the children they spawn and not create systems where they put their wives and children to work and the American government to support their offspring. This is not right. You can find more about polygamy if you'll get on the web. But Sister Wives is not a true documentary of polygamy.
And we'd like to thank Rebecca Kimball for giving us permission to use this clip. This video merely concludes confirms our conclusion that the Sister Wives show really is not a true presentation of polygamy, which is basically what we came up with last week. And I'd like to emphasize a few points that she made. She made the remark that polygamy is America's Taliban. Although I wouldn't parallel it too closely, there certainly is a valid comparison, especially regarding the polygamy groups that hold tightly gripped puppet strings on their members and they control them so heavily, especially and in particularly their women and their children. We wish that the females of polygamy groups would stand up, that they would have the courage to stand up for their God-given rights. Polygamy is a form of slavery. It's the price for exaltation. It often requires women to become baby factories. Women are often worked into a perpetual state of exhaustion. I've known several women in that particular situation as they slave for their United Order group. But we can't work to earn God's favor or to earn salvation. Rebecca mentioned that many of the groups require their plural wives to have a baby a year. And what I'd like to say about that is John Taylor mentioned there's been a little bit of a twisting, not on what she said, but on what the polygamy groups have done with John Taylor. He said at one time when he saw that polygamy was going to be disallowed, that there should be a baby born a year under the covenant of polygamy, which is what Rebecca said. But what the polygamy groups have done is they've taken that and twisted that, lifted it, dropped it on the heads of the women in polygamy, and they've said, you must have a baby per year, when actually it originally was for the aggregate church, not each individual woman. And once again, God has never, ever given a quota for women and how many babies that they should have. Rebecca said that the men of polygamy are in bondage to their ignorance. And the answer to ignorance is not jail or persecution, but education. And I would have to give a hearty amen to that. Unfortunately, most polygamous men think they already know and have the truth, and the most difficult person to educate is the one who thinks he already knows. This is exceptionally difficult, even more so difficult, when we're dealing with spiritual truths. To that end, I'd like to mention tonight this book on biblical polygamy. We'd like to offer it absolutely free to anyone who is in a polygamy group that has the courage to study out biblical polygamy. Just ask for it. Become educated about this. Prayerfully and honestly ask God, show me the truth. No matter what it is, I want the truth. But when you ask Him this, you must be willing to accept His answer no matter what it is. Otherwise, and make no mistake of it, if you're not willing to receive His answer, you will be further deceived. And never tell God to prove to you that something in particular is true. That is a guaranteed deception. Confirmation of God's truth doesn't come with a burning in the bosom or any other emotion. Our feelings are not the barometer for truth. The Bible is, and only the Bible. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our minds, and we encourage you to use your mind. Don't depend on someone else to search out the truth for you. And don't hold on to a false teaching just to make someone else happy. God will hold you responsible, not someone else, for what you believe. So if you'd like this book, just give us a call tonight. Leave your mailing address with the operator or email it to us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And be sure to include your zip code. We'll send it to you absolutely free. But if we don't get your zip code, we won't be able to send it at all. Rebecca said that it isn't faith that holds people in polygamy groups, it's fear. and she hit the proverbial nail on the head with that one. In my quest for biblical truths, I discovered the following three verses that spoke volumes to me about the fear that I had been steeped in since childhood. Now, there's more verses than just these three, but these are so important. And through His grace, God has set me free from all those fears. God is concerned about the false fears that human beings force upon each other. The first verse is Romans 8:15, and it says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." The next one is 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And 1 John 4:18, where it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love." You know, God's love is perfect. It produces truth and deep peace in your soul, not fear, not fright, and not shunning. If they claim to love you, but are instead are teaching and causing you to fear, you are in the wrong place. If they really love you, they will be doing everything they can to remove your fears, not implanting them. Any religion that uses the tool of fear to threaten you into submission and obedience is not from God. And in a word, run. We'll help you, but get out as fast as you can. And finally, Rebecca said that Sister Wives production merely presented polygamy to a naive public as being a quaint religion with a choice. But a choice by coercion is no choice at all, something that we've discussed many times on this show. Cody himself said it is a choice, and for him it was. Cody was not raised in a polygamy group, but he liked the idea of multiplying his lovers. So he joined a group that celebrated multiple wives. Three of his wives, however, were raised in a polygamous environment, and they were taught that God requires it. Again, freedom of choice by coercion and threats against your salvation is not freedom of choice. And of course, they call it free agency, which it is not. So as we continue to filter through the feedback of the Sister Wives propaganda, we discover that there are a lot of people out there who know that something is desperately wrong with polygamy, with its practice, and with the false salvation message that's attached to it. We want to see polygamists find freedom in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. My freedom was not fully understood by me or completed until this verse in the Gospel of John was made real in my own personal experience. John 8:31-32. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Notice in those verses the if. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth." Holding to his teachings does not include polygamy in any way, shape, or form, because Jesus never taught polygamy. And we know he didn't teach it secretly like many polygamists claim, because the Bible also tells us that he never taught anything in secret. And if you also would like to be free in Jesus, just let me know. I would love to help you get to know him. We're going to open up our telephone lines now. Our number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Remember, we do appreciate a two-way conversation. Any one-sided diatribe will be placed on hold and a two-way conversation forced. And if that doesn't work, then we'll disconnect you. We do take telephone calls from people who disagree with us, but we do not accept rude or nasty or angry telephone callers. So give us a call. We'd particularly like to hear from people from polygamy groups or from the LDS who still hang on to the polygamy doctrine as being from God. So give us a call, 801-973-TV20. And if any of you has watched, have been on the web and been able to see us on streaming video, we'd love to hear back and see how it went. We have one call already here. We have on line one, Douglas from Salt Lake City. Hello, Douglas.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I've always been taught that if you were trying to determine whether a prophet is true or false, that you went to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, and the last three verses of the book of the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy go like this: "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of the other gods, even that prophet shall die."
Right.
"And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken,
right,
but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him."
That is the best test that we can find. Any prophet with any failure rate at all is not a true prophet of God, because God
prophet
knows the
you
truth.
You know, the earliest prophets like Brigham Young and John Taylor and Joseph Smith, they had predicted that they were going to build the temple in Missouri.
Yeah, there's a lot of false prophecies we've covered on the show.
And they also said that before those who are alive today are gone, we will have built that temple. Well, they're all gone from that era. So those were false prophets and false prophecy.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for your call. You're absolutely right. We wish that people would heed what we're telling them, but that's why we keep striving, to hope that some and many will.
God bless and have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Douglas. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, you can call 801-973-TV20 and express your concerns about polygamy, sister wives, questions or comments about the show. We received a call a couple of weeks ago from David in Ogden. And he said, if you're not legally married, how is polygamy different from living with more than one woman? So why is it illegal? Because laws have been made against it. There's laws against it, and it's pretty serious. Actually, the Constitution of Utah states that polygamy will be forever prohibited. And in the law books, it's considered a felony if people live polygamy. So, and it's also a protection of the rights of women and children. Again, the what was portrayed on the sister wives is not real. It just isn't. They have never been in the trenches of real polygamy. I was born and raised in the Kingston polygamy group. And there are pro-polygamists out there, and polygamous women are part of it. Why in the world, I don't know, but they've been brainwashed to believe that it's God's will. And I'd like to say right now, too, that if you're brainwashed, you don't know you're brainwashed, and you'll deny it to the end. But it wasn't until I was out for quite some time and away from the polygamy group and started getting real living input into my brain that I realized I had been brainwashed. And it's an important thing for you to realize that if you're in a polygamy group and you believe that you've been brainwashed, let's talk. We got an email from Michael in Provo. And he said, "Are you back to lying again? You said the book, quote, Mormon doctrine, end quote, is official doctrine of the LDS Church. That is a lie." Well, the book is called Mormon Doctrine, published by the LDS Church. I don't know where the lie is. they better change the title if it's not Mormon Doctrine, and maybe somebody else ought to be publishing it. Another one we got said, I just watched another one of your heretical, confused broadcasts. Another doctrinal failure. You should go back to divinity school because you don't know what the blank, expletive deleted, you are talking about. You do realize that you are only watched by maybe a couple of hundred former Mormons, don't you? I don't know where he gets his statistics. Any active Mormon could see through your expletive deleted in about 30 seconds. You know what's interesting about many of these emails I get like this? No return email. I can't even defend myself on this, so I do it on the show. But, you know, they don't even have the courage to identify themselves. I find that very interesting. I have here, last week we had John Llewellyn on the show, and we talked about sister wives. John Llewellyn was a previous polygamist, and in the same group that the sister wives was in. And he had written this on the internet. I didn't get to reading it last week. Our time ran out. But I thought that I would mention what he has written on his blog. According to Wikipedia Dictionary, what the reality television show really means. It says, according to Wikipedia, reality television show is an unscripted, dramatic, or humorous documentation documenting actual events, and usually features ordinary people instead of professional actors. I've never, but according to one newspaper account, Cody Brown, the male star of the show, wants to show that polygamy does not have to be a world shrouded in dark secrets. In talking to friends of Cody, they say he would like the world to know they needn't fear polygamy, that they are no different than the average person. Of course, that isn't quite true. The average person believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. The objective of a reality show, I presume in this instance, is to select a family that represents the lifestyle being Mormon polygamy. If this is the case, then what we have seen so far of the Cody Brown polygamy family is not representative and therefore is not reality. And I'd have to agree with that because it certainly was not. We have a call coming in from Vernal. Karen in Vernal calling. Hello, Karen.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you're on the air, Karen.
Hi. What I wanted to ask, Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. You're on the air. Have you turned your TV down?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
What I wanted to ask, if the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe that there was polygamy in heaven, and that according to the Doctrine and Covenant, section 132.
Wow. Sounds like we lost her. Hello, Karen? Well, I hope she calls back. It sounded like she had an interesting observation that we might want to talk about here. Maybe we're having some telephone difficulties tonight, sounds like. Again, I'm working with the reality of polygamy groups and what goes on in polygamy groups. We got this email from a woman, unidentified. I know who she is, but I certainly won't identify her on the air. She says, we've come a long way from the good old days, and I'm proud that progress is being made for women. I'm truly sad that I'm losing my best friend, my sister, to polygamy, and she has been the only one I was close to for many years. She got a new home, and she moved far away, and I can't see her and the kids like I used to. I know she has to do it because she must do as her husband tells her, and that is her way to survive. Her husband does not want me around anymore, and it hurts so bad I cry myself to sleep because she was all I had left. I know I need to move on, but the pain is too much sometimes. Religion is so strong. It's weird how it keeps others from loving our own brothers and sisters. God bless you for what you're doing. Keep up the great work. I might add, this is pain that goes on all the time as a result of polygamy groups, for our viewers who may not realize that. I might add here, she talks about religion separating people. I might add Christianity is not in the category of religion at all. It's not a religion. It's embracing our Savior, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, and loving Him and everyone else because of what He has done for us. The pain this woman has experienced in her daily life as a result of polygamy is not at all reflective of the propaganda of sister wives. Okay, Karen is back on line two. Let's see if we can get her. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Hi, what happened?
My phone just went dead.
Oh, dear.
I'm scared to death it'll happen again. But,
well, talk fast.
It went dead.
Okay.
All right. All right, am I on the air?
You're on the air, and you were to section 132 of what the Doctrine and Covenants said.
Okay, well, what I wanted to ask, if the LDS Church believes there was polygamy in heaven, and then that we're brought down as spirits, and there is supposed to be polygamy on earth, according to the Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, and that there will be polygamy in the celestial kingdom, why won't they talk about it? Why are they so secretive if it's a fundamental belief of their religion? Why are they so ashamed of it? I'm just talking about your regular Mormons.
Yeah, it's a PR thing. It's illegal, and it's brought in a lot of negativity on the Mormon Church through the years, and they don't want to be connected or even thought in connection in any way with the polygamy groups around now, especially with so much negative media that's going on in the different groups. They took, once the manifesto, which was supposed to be rid of polygamy in 1890, but it didn't, and in 1904 they had to do a second so-called manifesto, and once that finally took a hold of the Mormon Church, they started to move away from the doctrine of polygamy, although they still claim that it is a principle, it's an everlasting principle. They just are not practicing it right now, but it still is a principle they believe in, and it will come back on the earth someday. A lot of them teach it's coming back during the millennium. Yes, they do believe it's going to be lived in heaven, and that only those in the celestial kingdom will be able to live polygamy. There's no biblical, nothing at all in the Bible that would ever support that.
Well, okay, my next question is the Bible says the only time you disobey the law of the land if God's law is higher. And according to Section 132, they are supposed to be practicing polygamy.
Now, the Bible does not say
right
if God's law is higher. It doesn't say that.
Well, no, I just know that God's law is higher than the law of the land.
God's law trumps the law of the land, but God's law and the laws of the land pretty much are workable with each other. And the Bible tells us we are to be the best citizens there are, simply because we obey our government authorities. We pay our taxes. We do what we're supposed to do. The only place in the Bible, in the book of Acts, where the disciples said we must obey God instead of men is when they were warned not to teach about Jesus. And they said, we will do this and get thrown in jail rather than be quiet. It had nothing to do with the United Order or thievery or polygamy or anything else. It was only talking about Jesus. That's
right.
The only.
But my question is, if they really believe this is of God, why isn't the mainstream Mormon church still doing polygamy?
That's a good pressure question for them. It's a PR thing. They lived it as long as it was legal, but when it became illegal, they stopped living it because they want to be these good citizens. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. That's what they say today. But again, that's not true because it was illegal when they were living it in Joseph Smith's day.
Right.
So,
well, I know that in the Bible, when David wasn't supposed to bow, he obeyed God and he bowed and prayed, and he went to God's law, not the law of the land, and he, you know, was punished for that.
I don't know the incident you're talking about.
Wasn't it David?
I'm not familiar with that incident that you're talking about.
Well, in the Old Testament, they weren't supposed to bow to anyone but the king at the time.
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about there.
And they tried to trick him, and he would not. He still bowed to God.
That was bowing down to other gods, not to
kings.
Right,
and he would not do it. And it just seems strange to me that the mainstream Mormon church has bowed, if it's still in their, which it is, in their Doctrine and Covenants, why they are not practicing.
Well, you know, the why, I'm glad they're not practicing it. It would be a horrible society we have here in Utah if they were practicing it. But what they do with their doctrine, it just shows that they're just like the chameleon. They go back and forth and do whatever the is going on right now. If Christianity is ever outlawed, they'll deny they're Christians. You know, it's just that's just what's going to happen. But I've got other calls coming in, so I'd like to get to them if I can. I appreciate your calling.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, Ann from Salt Lake is calling. Hello, Ann. Hello, Ann. Hello, Ann. Ann, yes.
I was calling.
Yes, you're on the air. You need to turn your TV down.
Okay, yes. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Turn your TV down.
My TV's on mute.
Okay, good. You're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes. Is she going to ask me, or do I just ask her?
Just go ahead and ask. I'm Doris.
Okay, I'm wondering why the women have such a hard time. It seems like a double standard to me. Can she hear it?
Yeah.
Can she hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Why are the women in polygamy so accepting of the double standard that they, you can hear me?
I can hear you. Please give your question. Hello?
I'm wondering why the women in the polygamy have such a double standard in that they think that they're kind of like second-class citizens, and is it a brainwashing that makes them kind of allow that the man just rules everything, and they're just under the man, and the man is just kind of like God, and they're nothing?
It's a patriarchal society, Anne. The men are everything, and according to them, they hold the priesthood, they hold the power, they hold the authority, what they say goes, and it is brainwashing. You need to turn your TV down. You need to turn your TV down, Anne. I can't.
Okay, and so the women don't really, they're just nothing, really. They're just kind of like owners, they're owned by the men, and they don't have their own mind. And why don't they feel like, why don't they have enough self-esteem to feel like they have a right to have, you know, maybe more than, I mean, it's such a double standard. Why can the man have all the wives, but the wife can't have a lot of husbands?
And this,
why is that?
And this is, it's really, we don't have enough time to answer that in full. Having been born and raised in a polygamy group, I know what it is to be brainwashed and being told. And you've got to turn your TV down. I'm going to have to disconnect you if you don't turn it down.
I'm listening to you.
Yeah, but I can hear your TV feedback. It's got to be turned down.
Okay, turn the TV down. Just listen to you. Because it's kind of...
Okay, now let me explain. When you're told something from the cradle, when that's all you know, when that's all you've been told, and listen to this too, they threaten you with God. And that's the hard part. If God wants you to do something, you better do it, or this and that and all these threats. And that's why I brought up these scriptures tonight, that perfect love casts out fear, and yet they use fear as their tool to hold you in. When you're brainwashed, you don't know you're brainwashed. You think you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Are you afraid that they will kill you if you don't do it too? Is death really part of that whole thing?
No, not in the group I was raised in. There wasn't blood atonement. The lady that earlier was talking about the LeBaron group, and they did do that. The FLDS has done it too. Early Mormons did it. The Brigham Young and all that, they did the blood atonement. But that isn't so much the fear today. The fear is God's retribution. The fear is going to hell.
So how were you able to get out of the brainwashing?
I didn't get out of it until I ran away from the group. When I turned 18 years old, I ran away. And again, it was quite a long time before I even realized I'd been brainwashed.
Did you run away because you just had a sense there was something wrong?
Oh, I hated it. It was brutal. It was a very brutal life.
And so when you got away, you got some support and were able to see the real...
Well, it's a long story, Anne. It's a real long story.
I'll have to go onto your site, but
yeah,
I'm glad you're fighting against it. I have polygamists right next door to me, and I have had polygamists in my other neighborhood, and I've always wondered if the women have a say. I never see the women. They hide the women.
They do. They want to be...
out, and the women are hidden inside, and do they ever get to see shows like this,
I don't know each individual home, but we're at the end of the show, and so I've got to leave. But check out our website. You'll find out a lot of information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Good night.
Bye.
Very quickly, an off-the-air comment. Would like to commend Doris. You do this with a smile, even with all the abuse you get. Thank you. Oh, I get a lot of people and a lot of encouragement, too. So thank you for that. My closing comments are tonight, we can have really no accurate comprehension of how horrible and how ugly and how disgusting and how nauseating our sins are to God. Society thinks these days pretty much that they mock and they reject biblical morality. But our contempt of biblical morality doesn't change God. He still hates sin. And if you wonder how much he hates sin, just look at the cross. And if you wonder how much he loves you, just look at the cross, because that's where he died for your sins. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 21, that if we die in our sins, where he goes, we cannot come. Jesus prepared the way, the only way to God, through the cross. The foot of the cross is level ground. We all get there the same way. We go his way or we don't go at all. God burns against sin. Someone said, I rest my thoughts on the gentle people who loved me as a child and taught me there is a hell. But one day I found my place of safety. If you are caught in a forest fire, your safety is where the fire has already burned itself out. When I made my way to the cross of Jesus, I found that the raging inferno of God's wrath against sin had burned itself out at the cross of Jesus Christ. Precious Jesus suffered in my place. He suffered in your place too. Praise Him for safety forever. You know what? That's something that celestial marriage can never do. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again. Mm-hmm.